Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck. And we're coming to you from Herb's House, which is a coffee shop here in Dallas, Texas. And we have a great devotion for you. This is going to be 10 minutes. I'm going to talk about the passage for 4 to 5 minutes, and then Kent is going to ask me some questions, and he and I will talk back and forth. We're in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 8. The title of this is Dynamic Faith. Sure, you want to have a dynamic faith. I want to have a dynamic faith. I mean, what Christian does not want to have a dynamic faith? So, Paul talks about that in verse 8. He says, "For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone forth so that we have no need to say anything." I mean, can you imagine being in a church that is just hitting on all cylinders, and the Apostle Paul says, you know, I really don't need to say anything to you. Just keep doing what you're doing. Later in this book, he says, you're excelling. Just excel still more. Mm-hmm. In other words, you're in the right lane. You're going down the right path. You're heading in the right direction. All I can say to you is press down the gas pedal just a little bit more. Wow. But just keep going. He doesn't have to redirect them. All he has to do is affirm them and encourage them. And what he says to them is that the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you.
That's good.
It is. It's real good. And this verb has sounded forth. Really, the imagery there is a trumpet blast or a thunderbolt, a lightning bolt with thunder. That there is a strong projection of a message. And it says, the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you. They weren't talking about themselves. They weren't talking about this or that that's related to them. They are sounding forth the truth of the gospel and sound doctrine that has been taught to them and has been received by them, that they now are just magnifying that message as far and wide as they possibly can. And he says, not only in Macedonia, that's northern Greece, and Achaia, that's southern Greece. So they're covering, in reality, the whole nation, the whole province there. But he adds also in every place, meaning every place that the gospel could go out from them, it was happening. And your faith towards God has gone forth. So it's not just the message, but also the reality of how that message was impacting their own personal life and walk. So it's not either or, it's both and. And there's even a priority here that first and foremost, it was the content of the word of the Lord that was sounding forth, but then also, second, how their faith towards God was resilient and also being talked about by others. And so, Kent, this is, I think, should be a great challenge to us, that we don't need to be Secret Service disciples living in anonymity, that we need to be flying the flag high, that others hear from us of the gospel as God gives us those opportunities. And this is not saying that we need to be belligerent or that we need to be ungracious and just overwhelming people. But as God opens doors and as God gives us opportunity to talk to people, there needs to be a sounding forth of the word of the Lord, and that our faith towards God is seen, is evident. Mm-hmm. I mean, how counterproductive it would be for the word of the Lord to be sounding forth from us, but we live the total opposite way. I mean, our walk with the Lord needs to provide almost the illustration of what this would look like in someone's life. Mm-hmm. So we want our lives to be sounding boards for the word of God to go forth. So, Kent, let's talk about this.
Well, I think, how many times have you and I said, We got to have sound doctrine. We got to have proper theology. We've got to have biblical teaching.
Yeah.
But then we've talked about the hardest part, maybe the hardest part, is the application.
Yeah.
That it can't just stop. And how many times have I just parked it in my mind, but I haven't applied it? I haven't gone out into the world and used it and applied it. And I think that's what we're saying here, right? Is that we've got to put shoe leather to this message.
Yeah.
And how many times do we stop and we say, hey, that was great, but we don't do anything with it?
Yeah. You know, Kim, what flashes to my mind, I preached yesterday, you were there, and I preached out of Genesis 25, which was almost like a Hebrew phone book, and I'm trying to make it relevant, which God helped me to do that. After the message was over, virtually everyone who talked to me, and it continued to come in text even when I got home, and we ate lunch together, and what we talked about with our wives was really the application from that sermon.
Yeah.
And how it connected with how I need to live my life.
Yeah.
That was where the rubber met the road. And so that tells us that as we study the Word of God, we must always ask the question, so what?
Yeah.
So what does this mean for me?
Yeah. What do I need to be doing?
What do I need to be doing?
I've got to do something in my life with this.
Yeah, exactly, Kent. And even the steadfast hope started. You came to me and said, Steve, we got to be doing something for the Lord that's still out there. We haven't started yet. And you came up with this idea to do steadfast hope, that we just got to get the Word of God out in new ways. And that's, I think, a great example of the so what.
Do you think it's appropriate then, Steve, as we have our quiet time and we read our Bible, that in the back of our minds, as we're meditating on the Word, we're asking the Lord, what do I need to do today with this?
Yes.
How do I need to take this in my life and use it and apply it?
Yeah, absolutely, Kent. Doctrine always comes with duty.
Okay, I like that.
Beliefs always come with behavior to transform our behavior. And so truth is never an end in itself. Truth is only a super highway to take us somewhere. To live the reality of what this passage is teaching. And Ken, I've shared this before, but when I was in seminary, I had a professor who said, I'm going to sit on the front row, I'm going to come hear you guys preach. I'm just going to hold up a sign that says, so what, while
That's
you're
so
preaching.
Good.
So what? How does this affect Monday morning? How does this affect Tuesday night in my life, what you're teaching? I think every time we open our Bible, we need to see that so what sign. So what should the effect of this be upon my personal life?
Do you think that we can sometimes say, okay, I'm going to try to read my Bible today, and I've got my Bible read, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe I prayed a little bit, but I didn't do anything. How important is it, again, that we think action-oriented?
It's critically important because, I mean, the Pharisees had a lot in their head. It just never got into their heart and into their walk and into their hands and into the way, into their eyes and ears and affect their daily life. And so we don't want to just know the truth. It's got to lead to we live the truth, that we pass on the truth to others. And so obviously that's why we have to keep reading our Bible, because sometimes we don't get it all the first time we read it. We need to keep reading so it can work its way into our life.
Yeah, and how many people I've seen, godly men that I've been with, that are tremendous preachers of the Word, and then watch them in their daily lives live it. And boy, that has had such an incredible impact on me.
Yeah, no, it has me too, Kent. And I think one thing that I have witnessed in certain men who are tremendous preachers is just the humility in their own personal walk with the Lord. They're not peacocks strutting around. They're not egomaniacs. They're not the hero of their own stories. They are men that the truth has really had an eternal weight of glory resting upon them. And it has had a crushing effect in the sense of there's brokenness, there's humility, there's lowliness of mind. And that's been an example to me. And obviously there are other men who have had another path that they've gone and have not really lived out what they preach.
But that's a complete full circle, isn't it, of the Christian life?
It really is.
It just completes everything.
It really is. And so, Kent, I mean, I need to put into practice more and more what I know to be true. And that's why, really, it's throughout our whole Christian life, we are to grow in spiritual maturity.
I need this.
And as long as we're here on the earth, none of us have arrived.
Amen.
And there's still yet more of Christ's likeness for us to embrace in our daily walk. Well, I'm duly convicted and challenged from this, and I hope you are in a good way, that we need to continue to live out our Christian faith with ever-increasing measures and for the gospel to sound forth from us, as well as our faith toward God. Well, blessings to you. Thank you for joining us. I hope this has been helpful for you. It has been for me, and I'm sure for Ken as well. So God bless you. Cannot wait for our next time to be with you for Steadfast Hope.